to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. July clearance sales event continues. All the great deals. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. All of our guests, of course, appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. All-Star game tonight. You know, I misspoke yesterday, by the way. I said there's two games or two nights this year that the Major League Baseball, the National Football League, the NHL, or the NBA will not be playing that night. There's only a couple days all year long. It's usually the day before and the day after the All-Star game. Major League Baseball will not get back into action until Friday. So actually this year, 3 days with no professional sports. All-Star game tonight. Baseball off tomorrow, baseball off on Thursday, back in action on Friday. Home run derby last night, Aaron Judge. Well, here you go. 6'7", 280 pounds, and you're an athlete. Look like a big kid, like in the eighth grade, playing on a Little League peewee ballpark last night, just hitting 500-foot bombs. Pretty entertaining. I heard Bob and Jim talking about some things they could spruce up the home run hitting contest. I thought it was pretty good, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that you can do. The All-Star game, on the other hand, I still think too much on the line, home field advantage in a World Series. I mean, listen, you play 162 games. I still think you should go by the record, kind of like they do in hockey. You seed teams for home field advantage, you know, throughout the playoffs and the World Series as well. But, again, they'll play it again tonight in Miami. Just a couple of things, some notes here. You know, there's so much credence now put on WAR, wins above replacement. Did a study today, basically, and looked at the All-Star lineups. You look at the American League, for example. Altuve not only won the popular vote, but he would have been best player at second base in wins above replacement. Jose Ramirez of the Indians, same thing, 322, 17 home runs, 48 RBIs. Aaron Judge is in. George Springer in left field. You know who had the best wins above replacement? Justin Upton, Detroit Tigers. Justin Smokes at first base. Logan Morrison, actually, again, with all that credence, put wins above replacement player. Logan Morrison would have been the first baseman. How about this one? Salvador Perez, catcher for the Royals. Big year, 290, 18 home runs, 57 RBIs. You know who the player was that had the best WAR in that position? We talked about him last night. Alex Avila of the Detroit Tigers has the best WAR among catchers. And really, if you were going by, you know, modern baseball, analytics, WAR, all the other things they put into this, Avila, if you go by wins above replacement, now I don't think he's a better catcher than Salvador Perez. There's no doubt about that. But he said the first half of a season that certainly warrants possibly a start in that game. Avila, by the way, made the All-Star the All-Star team a number of years back. So there's three guys right there, in Upton, Logan Morrison, and Avila. In the National League, Blackman would have held on in center field. Stanton also in the lineup, Bryce Harper, Buster Posey, the catcher. Daniel Murphy, who's a hitting machine, but actually Josh Harrison of the Pittsburgh Pirates had a better war than Daniel Murphy. He would have got in. Turner, the third baseman, the redhead for the Los Angeles Dodgers, actually. And listen, Arenado's had a tremendous year, 17 jacks, great glove, 70 RBIs. But Turner, really a guy that had the better war. Goldschmidt was better at first base than Ryan Zimmerman. Ozuna, Cozart, and Scherzer, the guys that made the team, also had the best wars. We are going to talk a little baseball tonight, by the way. Tom Gage, who won the Spink Award as the best writer in baseball and was recognized for his years of service. I got the honor at Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk some baseball coming up with Tom Gage at 5:15 tonight. He's got a book out, The Big 50, The Men and the Moments of the Detroit Tigers Baseball Club. Then at 5:35 tonight, we're going to check in with Tim May. Tim May's all the way over in Maine, but answered a text today. Said he'd love to talk a little Ohio State football. We're going to talk a little bit about the 1971 All-Star game at Tiger Stadium in Detroit. And listen, I know that's going back a few years, but stick around. This is going to be pretty interesting. A lot of folks thought it was the best All-Star game ever played. And listen, I got a little prize. I got to give this away, but I got a promo ticket. It's worth $30, plus you get five tasting tokens. Again, coming up at the Manitou Beach Village. That's for the Rockin' the Hills Craft Beer Festival. It's coming up Saturday. I would say this is probably a $30 value. It's a ticket to get in. There's music. There's beer. You're on the lake. What else do you want? Whoever calls first and tells me in 1971 whose mammoth home run went off the transformer on the roof at Tiger Stadium below the lights way back in right center field, I'll give the ticket to. Give Jim a call back at the studios. The number is 866-240-1065. You got to pick it up here at the Monroe Superstore. Free ticket, Rockin' the Hills Craft Beer Festival coming up on Saturday. Plus, you get some free beer. How do you like that? All right, Tom Gage right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Home of the Detroit Lions, the Ohio State Buckeyes, University of Michigan. Again, this is Drive Time, brought to you by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Again, glad to have you on board. All of our guests, by the way, appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. 5:35 tonight, we'll be talking to Columbus Dispatch beat writer for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Been there a long, long time. Tim May, we need a little bit of a football fix. And, you know, I read a story a couple of weeks ago, Keith Byers, Jim Otis, and Chris Ward, nominees for the College Football Hall of Fame this year. So we're going to get caught up, see some breaking news as the Buckeyes get ready to open their season August the 31st against Indiana. As I mentioned, only 3 days out of the year this year, Monday, tomorrow, and Thursday, where there's no Major League sports in action. That, of course, includes Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA. All-Star game tonight in Miami, Spink Award winner. And I love his book, The Big 50, The Men of the Moments of the Detroit Tigers. Tom Gage joins us. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Good to be on your show.
Now, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to jog my memory here just a little bit. I'm going to guess you probably started covering or were named the beat writer of the Detroit Tigers around, I'm going to guess, 76, 77?
Yeah, I covered a little bit in 76, became the beat writer full-time in 79.
Well, I thought that 1971 All-Star game, I had to check your book today. And, Tom, what I've done with your book is I just pick up a chapter. I go down the ledger, the list of chapters. I said, you know what, I'm going to knock this one off tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm going to talk more about it later in the show tonight. But I thought maybe you would have had a piece, and I double-checked today in the 1971 All-Star game from Tiger Stadium in Detroit. I understand it wasn't a Detroit Tiger moment, But boy, I was going up and down the rosters today and bench McCovey, Aaron Mays, Stargell, Santo, Clemente, Kawine, Killebrew, Cash, Lolich, Palmer, Frank Robinson. I mean, it goes on. And your friend Sparky Anderson, of course, managed the National League team. What a night that was in Detroit.
Oh, it was a great night. It really was. And a case can be made for it being in the book. But I just didn't think it was specifically Tiger memories, and I didn't think it fell into the category of an event that made, you know, that made the Detroit Tigers over the years. It was a great event, no argument there, and it was a wonderful memory for people in Detroit and anybody who really likes the All-Star game. But that's why I left it out.
No, and I wasn't lobbying to have it in. I just didn't want to bring you on the show tonight and start talking about it, and you would have said, hey, no, that was in the book. So I did check the titles today. Hey, you touched on something there, and I wanted to get you on, and of course, I think it's been debated, it's been talked about. I mean, listen, we already know the NHL All-Star game is a joke. The NBA, they play a little basketball with no defense. NFL is really, I mean, there's no sense of even having that thing, in my opinion. But baseball has been pretty competitive over the years, but now they've added the caveat, Tom Gage, where the winner of the team, that league gets home field in the World Series. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, they don't do that anymore. This is the first year they're going back to without it. And I liked it, Mike. I think it gave some incentive for the teams as a collection of players to pull for each other. Now they just get a cash bonus as if they need it, most of them, to play in the game. So I think it's too bad. I like Bud Selig's idea when he went to having the World Series connection with the All-Star game, but it's my understanding this is the first year without it.
Tom, I stand corrected. I got to tell you something, and when you're wrong, you're wrong. And I normally do my research. I was still under the impression that was the case. I wasn't a big fan of that. And tell me a little bit, too. I was looking at the lineups today for both the American League and the National League, and I'm not going to go through the tedium of naming each player, but I did a little study here. And listen, I'm in your category when it comes to, you know, signing up for things like Medicare like I did yesterday. And so I go back to, you know, those days of the 60s and the 70s. But there's a new category for baseball, and it's called WAR, wins above replacement. And all of a sudden, I went up and down the lineups for both teams, and I went to the WAR statistics, the latest ones, the current ones. Pretty close. Both teams of guys that have scored very well in the WAR have made it. But there's a couple, Justin Upton, believe it or not, Alex Avila's got a better WAR than Salvador Perez right now. I'd rather have Perez, but a great first half for Alex. Logan Morrison and Turner, the third baseman for the Dodgers, Goldschmidt and Harrison. So there was about six guys there, if you go by the modern quote-unquote WAR, would have been in the lineup and under that category performing the best at their position.
Well, I think it's an interesting way to evaluate players, but I don't think it's the only way to evaluate players. I'm kind of I'm kind of old fashioned in that compared to the people who go by the new analytics. I actually like RBIs. I actually like a run scored. I like batting average. So I don't have to break all these things down to the micro stats that a lot of people look at now. I know that kind of makes me old fashioned, but I do pay attention to WAR more than the modern analysts do, I think, to the old fashioned stats. I think there's a place for both.
You know, it's kind of funny in my world in hockey. We're traveling with about three or four other people and personnel now because of what you just touched on, the analytics and, possession of puck, so on and so forth, one particular player against another. And listen, technology has brought a whole new element into all the sports. So it was an interesting study. I enjoyed it this morning with my coffee and said, hey, who's got a higher WAR than the guys that are already in? And the first guy I checked alphabetically was Alex Avila, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Hey, trade deadline, Tom Gage, coming up on July the 31st. Listen, it's apparent everybody knows that Detroit wants to do something. Time to retool. I look at the Yankees, how fast they turn things around in just a couple of deals. We live here in Toledo. There's not a lot going on with the guys that are wearing the Mud Hens uniform right now. Jacoby Jones is one of those guys. But if, I guess, is the big question here, if Al Avila can make some deals, who would you expect to go, and will he be able to do anything? There's things involved here. Payroll, money, so on and so forth. What's your thought of the trade deadline coming up?
Well, I would certainly think that the most probable to go would be J.D. Martinez. You hear Verlander's name, but that's still a lot of money for somebody for another team to take on without some help. So it all depends probably on how much the Tigers would help in making that deal possible. But if they don't think they can sign JD beyond the end of this year, and I would certainly think that would be difficult to do with free agency staring at them, they're gonna have to trade him. That's too bad, because he certainly can bash the ball, but they've got others. Right now, the way this team looks, they're just not going anywhere, and they're out on a long limb, Mike. As you know, that if they decide to stay the course, and that course doesn't go anywhere, then it certainly could be their jobs. The way I look at it, I would think that Brad Ausmus would want players traded, because then they hand over a new crew to him, and I still don't think they're gonna fire him, because I just don't think that Avila's a firing type of manager. I think he likes his guys. He doesn't want to trade them. He doesn't want to fire them. This is a huge test for Avila, because as people said about Dombrowski, he had courage. He was fearless, as Leland always said, and he would trade anybody at any time. I mean, big player, small player, whatever helped the team. And this is a test for Avila to show that he doesn't get too attached to people.
You know what I said yesterday in this show? Again, Tom Gage joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. That I'm rooting for the likes of Ian Kinsler. I'm rooting for the likes of players that might be possible trade tokens. And Justin Verlander, the money is another equation in this thing. But I want to see some return. You know, there's some guys down at Erie right now that are throwing the ball pretty well, and a couple of pretty good players here and there. Stewart, the first baseman, comes to mind. But I don't think Cabrera's going anyplace. I know they moved him to the outfield. So if you're a Tiger fan, and I said this all the time, listen, when Jim Leland, who grew up very close to where we're broadcasting from tonight, in 2006, got the Tigers in, this has been a pretty good run through 2016. You know, they've been in it every year. If you're a baseball fan, you just want to be in the race. But it's over. I mean, it's been a good run. It's been a decade. Time to move on. So this is, you're right, a very important thing for the Detroit Tigers and Al Avila. All-Star games in general, anything, thoughts on that before I let you go, Tom?
Well, I just hope it's an interest. I mean, I don't know how much it means to the players. They were interviewing one of the American League pitchers last night, and I'm sure this was just a slip of the tongue, but this guy's a pretty prominent pitcher. I don't mean to embarrass him per se, but he said, "Oh, this is so much fun. I really getting a chance to represent the National League." And hey, buddy, you're an American leaguer. I mean, I hope it was just a slip of the tongue. But he said National League when he pitches for an American League team. So if you can make that kind of mistake, I don't really know how much you identify with your league's collection of all-stars. Again, I hope it was a slip of a tongue, but he did say National when he actually does pitch for an American League team.
Well, that's I didn't see it. I kind of muted the home run derby there a little bit last night. I couldn't take all the pom-poms and the cheerleading and the yelling and the screaming. I was kind of enjoying a nice night. I had it either muted or down very, very low, but it was a display. Anything else in our great game, Tom, that you want to touch on before I let you go as we move into the second half of the season?
Yeah, I want to touch on what you just said about all the screaming during the home run derby. Oh, my word, there was a lot of it. I had to mute it myself. I mean, whoever they had on that broadcast, I mean, I'll take back anytime over what I heard last night.
No, it was. Listen, I just wanted to watch some guys get into a rhythm, swing the bat, hit the ball, the jumping up and down. It drove me absolutely crazy. The remote was going back and forth to other things. Enjoyed it. How's the book going, Tom? Pretty good?
It's doing pretty well. It's hard to keep track of the numbers. Really, the ranking on Amazon is about as close as you can get, and that fluctuates between triple digits and double digits. So I'm pleased. I had a speaking engagement today, and that went pretty well. And the one thing I didn't want, Mike, is to have all of a sudden the Tigers just disappear from sight, you know, in the middle of the year. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. So if to sell books, you have to have people talking about the Tigers. But I can say, hey, if you don't like the present team, read about the former teams.
Well, I do it about once or twice a week. I pick out a chapter, and I'll do it again tonight. Tom, thanks for coming on. You sound great. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Tom Gage, the book, The Big 50, The Men and the Moments That Made the Detroit Tigers. That was the first thing I looked at today, and I get it. I wasn't lobbying for him, you know, to have that as one of the 50 moments for the Tigers. But if you're old enough to remember that 71 All-Star game in Detroit, holy smokes, what a game that was. Unbelievable. I just went up and down the names a minute ago, but think about this bench, who had a home run, by the way. Hank Aaron had a home run. Mays, Stargell, Juan Marichal, Seaver, Brooks Robinson, Santo, Clemente, Sparky Anderson, the manager, Carew, Brooks Robinson, Tony Oliva, Frank Robinson, Mickey Lolich, Bill Freehand, Norm Cash, and Kaline from the Tigers. Harmon Killebrew was another one that was in there. Jim Palmer, what a ball game. The American League won it 6-4. Everybody remembers, of course, that mammoth home run of Reggie Jackson off the Transformers in right center field. You've seen the replay, you know, 1,000 times, by the way. And that trivia question, again, getting that free promo ticket at Rockin' the Hills Craft Beer Festival coming up on the weekend. Congratulations to Wes Heater. Good job, Wes. Easy question. Quick on the phone for Wes. He's got a free ticket to look at the lake, listen to some music, and drink some beer. Not a bad thing. Tass Electronics. Updates with Jim right around the corner. This is Drive Time with the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. As I mentioned last night, I was watching the home run derby. Awesome display of power. I had to mute it. I guess the gal's name is Jessica Mendoza. I just Googled that, and listen, I was not alone, and Hall of Fame writer Tom Gage, who does not really say much about anybody when it comes to criticism, had to mute it too. So I was caught off guard about the home field advantage in the All-Star game tonight, but if I would have sat there for 3 hours last night, I'm sure they would have been talking about it, but I had to mute it. Just way too many pom-poms and yelling and screaming there last night. It was kind of crazy. Again, Tom Gage joined us, Spink Award winner, covered the Tigers for, well, since 1976. Has a book out right now, The Big 50, The Men of the Moments That Made the Detroit Tigers. We talked the All-Star game tonight. Listen, it's 85 degrees. This gentleman on the phone is in one of the two states I've never been in. Maine and New Hampshire, that's in the Continental 48. Haven't been in Alaska, haven't been in Hawaii. But the Buckeye beat writer, I got him on to just give us a little, I'll let him get him back to his vacation, a little Buckeye fix. Hello, Tim, how are you?
Pretty good, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Very, very good. Good connection. I know you're up in Maine. I basically just said never been there but heard nothing but great things.
Yeah, my wife and I were out moose hunting today because my wife loves moose, and we just left Fish River Falls just south of Fort Kent, Maine. We're headed back toward our happy hunting grounds.
Well, good stuff. Bag a couple of big ones and, you know, send me up a couple of samples. I'd love to try some. Hey, I got you on today, Tim, basically because I read your story, you know, earlier in the month on Keith Byers, Jim Otis, and Chris Ward, nominees for the College Football Hall of Fame. I mean, there's some great ones in there, Dick LeBeau, Orlando Pace, and, you know, Paul Warfield and Jim Parker and so on and so forth. But this is a pretty good class, and the first thing you see is guys that, I guess it's the old term, 3 yards in a cloud of dust when it came to Byers and Otis.
Exactly. Otis is kind of like on his last, he's got 4 years of eligibility for it, so he's kind of on his last string in that regard. As far as Keith Byers, I mean, Keith Byers, I've told your listeners this before, the most dominant season of carrying a football I've ever witnessed live was Keith Byers in 1984. Until he suffered that high ankle sprain on the last offensive play at Wisconsin, a game that they lost, and that loss should have put him out of the running for the Rose Bowl. But instead, later in the year, they became the first team in Big Ten history to win the Big Ten outright with two losses. With that said, though, that ankle sprain kept him from winning the Heisman Trophy that year, because that's the year, of course, Doug Flutie won it. But yeah, Keith Byers for a year and a half was about as dominant a running back as you'll ever find.
You know, I saw something today, and listen, anytime we want to talk Ohio State football, listen, you've covered them for so long, and I enjoy your work. I didn't know Troy Aikman. I was looking at the list of players, and I don't think he went in as a Buckeye, but I didn't know Troy Aikman spent time at Ohio State. And apparently Tim May wasn't sure of that either. He told us we might have a tough time with his cell up in Maine. Tim, you got me? We'll give it one more try. Yeah, we lost Tim May. Don't call him back. That's too tough, and he's on vacation. Kush, no problem there. We'll get him when he gets back into town. But I did not know this. I was looking at, you know, the other players that are in the College Football Hall of Fame, and Dick LeBeau, great Detroit Lion player, coached a lot of years in the National Football League. He's in there, Orlando Pace. Toledo and Jim Parker. Paul Warfield, another guy that went on in some great years for both the Cleveland Browns and the Dolphins. But Troy Aikman was on that list, and that's what really surprised me as well. He must have spent a very short amount of time with the Ohio State Buckeyes. Buckeyes, by the way, open up the 31st of August at Indiana. Oklahoma is in on September the 9th. Jim and I both tried to Google today, you know, when does Ohio State's practice officially start for the regular season. Again, it's a Thursday night, August the 31st, at Indiana. It's hard for me to believe that we're talking college football, but what's the date today? The 11th. So 1 month and 20 days away from kickoff in the college football season as well. So Tim May, we'll get him back on some night when he is back in town, again, up in Maine. I'm not sure if he was pulling my leg there or not, or did he say that tongue-in-cheek, if he was doing some moose hunting. Then I kind of heard his wife chuckling in the background a little bit. But there's an endeavor for you, for one of the great sports writers with the Columbus Dispatch. But again, Keith Byers, Jim Otis, and offensive lineman Chris Ward are the nominees. They're on the ballot this year for the College Football Hall of Fame. All right, everybody, back with more. My name is Mike Miller. All-Star Game tonight, we'll have it right here in the Ticket. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. We're back here at the Superstore tomorrow. By the way, Thursday night, we'll be out at the Marathon Classic. There's a meeting of a lot of the staff out there. We're going to do a show, light up some guests on Thursday night. Of course, the following week, Marathon Classic coverage right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Again, complete coverage of the 2017 Marathon Classic. Highland Meadows coming up that week of the 17th to the 23rd. I'll be out there every night from 5 to 6. Bob France of the Afternoon Extravaganza will be there Thursday and Friday, 3 to 5. Mike Jamison and the Great Lakes Golf today will be there live Saturday from 8 to noon. Cheap Seats with Mick Gonzalez will be there Sunday morning. Cush will be out there giving you updates on both Saturday and Sunday. Again, complete coverage of the Marathon Classic right here on Toledo's ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Friday night, I will be up at, how about this, Woodstock Wine and Cheese up on US 223, talking about that Rocking the Hills Craft Beer Festival coming up on July the 15th, 4 to 9. Music, beer, and the water. We'll have our normal guests, but we'll be coming to you again from that area on Friday night, promoting that great event on Saturday. You know, I just I was Googling here, and I, you know, you got to watch what you say, especially when you're on the radio here. But I thought that Jessica Mendoza last night was a prime example of someone trying too hard. You know, Carl Ravitch is another guy. I mean, he replaces Chris Berman. Chris Berman did about as good a job as you possibly can, you know, with the home run derby. I know his call, back. That wasn't his original call. I know it was an announcer in New York. I don't know if it was Red Barber. I don't know who it was. But, you know, he really was a guy, Chris Berman, that paid tribute to some of the older announcers and used, you know, used their call. It was Howard Cosell was the guy that said he could go all the way. And Berman, of course, took that one over as well. I thought Chris Berman, and he was well aware of this. He wasn't stealing the calls. He was kind of paying homage to those guys that made those great calls. Now, listen, Chris Berman, when he was doing, you know, golf for the Masters or the U.S. Open, he had no business being there. It just didn't feel like golf, just like it doesn't feel like golf right now with Fox, with Joe Buck. I'd rather have Dan Hicks doing that. I'd rather have Jim Nantz doing that. It takes a while for some of these guys really to, I think, you know, get into your mindset to make it feel like a big event. We're going to see some of that, of course, next week, the same week as the Marathon Classic, is the Open Championship is going to be coming to us from Royal Birkdale. One of my favorite weeks of the year. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you put the coffee on, and you have a major golf tournament on. Love it. Absolutely love it. I don't know what it is. The older you get, the earlier you get up. And there's not a lot on in the morning. You can only watch the baseball highlights maybe one time. But Jessica Mendoza, listen, she's pretty knowledgeable in this and that, but every swing of the bat was getting the pom-poms out. And, you know, I just thought, and if Tom Gage, you know, a Hall of Fame writer and a class act said the same thing, well, I just went online and read some of the reviews. I wasn't alone on this. But all of a sudden, and I want to make myself perfectly clear here, if you're going to get into this business, and I was very fortunate, you know, as Jessica Mendoza says, seems both odd that this is her life and the job she gets paid to do, and resolute that she was meant to be the woman to break barriers for all the young girls and women who will come after her. I get all that. But, you know, that doesn't mean you can't be subject to criticism. Listen, I was in New York for 10 years. I think I had a lot of fans that loved my broadcast, but there's a certain segment that didn't like them. That goes with the territory. If you're going to be in a public spotlight, you're going to be a player. Listen, I just gave it to Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck and Paul Azinger, I don't like the job they're doing for Fox. Now, that's my personal feeling. Is it not professional? I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. But I'm used to Nance. I'm used to Faldo. I'm used to Dan Hicks. I love Johnny Miller. I mean, I love his sarcasm. I love his wit. But I also, if you're going to watch golf for 4 or 5 hours, I think it's just that continuous crescendo of the way they do it. Maybe Joe Buck eventually. The thing at Chambers Bay was a complete mess. I mean, but if you're going to get in this business, and I don't care the gender, there's going to be criticism there. And it goes with the territory. You have thin skin, you are in the wrong business, believe me, because you're going to get it. And listen, I still go online. I love reading all the things that the New Jersey Devil fans, when I was there, all the praise. But you know what? You get 3 or 4 into these, and that's not the case. Again, that goes with the territory, and everybody really, you know, has their favorites. Listen, Ernie Harwell was a tremendous, tremendous baseball writer, or broadcaster, by the way. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed George Kell just as much as I enjoyed Ernie Harwell, and maybe more. I love the drawl out of Arkansas. I love some of the things. They were both great. But from an entertainment value and my personal choice, I'm not saying George Kell was any better than Ernie Harwell. But you know what? I loved, he was my favorite. And Harwell was right behind him. So when it comes to broadcasting, again, people have their favorites. And regardless of the gender, you know, I don't like, people saying, well, you're criticizing Jessica Mendoza because she's a woman broadcaster. Hats off to her. But she was awful last night. The players are the show. You screaming after every pitch when somebody, it's a home run contest. Why are you awed that somebody just hit a home run? How many home runs were hit last night? The one contest, it was 23 and 22. What's that? That's 45 home runs in one segment. So don't act like you're surprised, you know, because one went 10 foot longer than the other. It's a home run contest with batting practice pitchers, you know, basically teeing up having a game plan with guys that are just driving balls out of the ballpark. There's no sense of being astounded by that on every pitch. That was my point, and that's what it was. I said, I can't take 3 hours of that. Mute. And every now and then would see the score, maybe go to something else. So that was that. Back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time.